Hello, watch lovers, and welcome to the podcast. I am Suhail Bhatia, and welcome you on this fascinating journey through the world of Rolex. This podcast comes to you from TURF, the Ultimate Rolex Forum, and you can find us at www.newturfers.com. During the course of these podcasts, I will be sharing the history of the Rolex brand, its founder, Hans Wilsdorf, as well as the history and significance of a lot of Rolex's popular models like the Submariner, GMT Master, Explorer, President, and many others. I would also be happy to receive inputs from listeners about what they would like to hear in these podcasts, so please email me at theultimaterolexforum@gmail.com. This week's podcast is rather special because it talks about my favorite Rolex sports model, the Submariner. But before we get started with the podcast, I would like to thank Morgan Jones and Tim Nicolai for their kind contribution through PayPal. Your contributions keep the podcast going, so please support us through PayPal at theultimaterolexforum@gmail.com. I also encourage you to visit our website at www.newturfers.com, where you will have the opportunity to meet more than 18,000 Rolex enthusiasts. So please visit us and share your thoughts on Rolex there. Now, the podcast, the Rolex Submariner. The Rolex Submariner is probably the most iconic sports model in the Rolex range. It has been designed to survive unimaginable pressures, and it's safe to say that the human body itself could not stand to take the same kind of torture that this watch can. A place that we would call hell, this watch would call home. Through its history, it's been worn by serial scuba divers and British Secret Service agents. But nowadays, as a fellow TURF member puts it, it's mainly worn in places where the wettest thing is a dry martini. The story started in 1953 when Rolex tested their yet unnamed sports watch under extreme conditions. The first test was conducted in January 1953, when the experimental watch, then temporarily called the Deep Sea Special, was tested to a depth of 10,336 feet by attaching it to the outside of Jacques Picard's submarine. A few years later, in 1960, the Rolex Submariner made the journey to the deepest point in the ocean, the Mariana Trench. During this dive, the watch was exposed to depths of 36,000 feet. The pressure at this depth was 7 tons per square inch. That's far more than what the human body can endure. During this period, which is 1953 to 1954, Rolex patented several names for their new diving watch. Names such as Deep Sea, Frogman, Diver, Deep Sea Diver, Skin Diver, Divergraph, and Swimproof were patented. The final name, Submariner, was finalized in 1960. The Rolex Submariners in their early years were categorized by their depth rating and not by the date complication and metal as it's done today. Rolex then sold their watches with different depth ratings at different price points. This points to the utilitarian origins of the watch. However, all Submariners today are rated to a depth of 1,000 feet or 330 meters. The early Submariners, which were the 6200 series, were fitted with bi-directional bezels. This means that the bezel can be turned both ways, clockwise as well as anti-clockwise. We will be discussing the significance of the direction of the bezel in more detail later in this podcast. The bezel on these watches were marked 3, 6, 9, like the modern Rolex Explorer ones are these days. In the year 1956, the bezel was redesigned with the now standard individual minute markers for the first 15 minutes. The Rolex Submariner model 5512 was launched in 1959, and later, after its movement was upgraded in the early 60s, the 5512 was sold as COSC certified. We have discussed COSC in earlier podcasts. Also, in the early 1960s, Rolex launched a new complication to their Submariner series, the date function. The Rolex Submariner model 1680 was the first Submariner with the date feature. At this point, we must also note that the early Submariners had bubbled crystals. When the 1680 was launched, it was the first to have a flat crystal to enable it to have the cyclops, which magnifies the date aperture. In the early 1980s, The Submariner model 1680 was renumbered as the 16800 and was fitted with a synthetic sapphire crystal. These watches are known as the transitional models. Also in the 1980s, the bidirectional bezel gave way to the unidirectional bezel in the Submariner series. This was done to prevent accidental movement of the bezel while diving. As scuba divers use the bezel to calculate the time spent underwater, the accidental movement of the bezel would give the erroneous indication of less time spent at depth and an incorrect indication on the amount of oxygen remaining. More on this later in the podcast. In 1996, the 16800 was replaced with the 16610, which has now been replaced with the 116610. In 1995, the 14060 no-date Submariner was launched. This was replaced with the 14060M in 2001, with the M standing for modified. The 14060M was later replaced with the 114060 in 2012. Both the upgraded watches had larger indices as well as ceramic bezels. These changes made the watch look more sports-like. In the year 2003, Rolex launched the anniversary model Submariner, model number 16610LV. The watch was launched to commemorate 50 years of the launch of the first Submariner watch. Contrary to popular belief, this is, or rather has never been, a limited edition watch. The 16610LV was replaced with the 116610LV in 2010. For the record, LV stands for Lunette Verte, please excuse my French, which simply means green bezel. The Submariners have had their fair share of the silver screen as well. In the James Bond movie series, it has been part of 007's vast array of gadgets. Sean Connery wore the Submariner in the 1962 movie Dr. No, and also in From Russia with Love, which came out in 1963. The Submariner was worn on a NATO belt in the 1964 movie Goldfinger. The watch was beautifully illuminated by Sean Connery's lighter in that scene. He also wore one in the 1965 and 67 editions, Thunderball and You Only Live Twice. The watch is also seen on George Lazenby's wrist, and an almost full screenshot when Lazenby is closing a drawer of a bedside cabinet. It is also seen when he takes off his watch, places it on top of a photocopier, and then decides to go in and examine a Playboy magazine. Sean Connery, when reprising the role of James Bond, wore the Submariner in Diamonds Are Forever. In the 1973 movie Live and Let Die, there is the Submariner doubles up as a mini saw as well as an extremely powerful magnet. Rolex Submariners were also worn in the following Bond movies: The Man with the Golden Gun, 1974, The Living Daylights, 1987, and License to Kill in 1989. Now let's get a little technical and discuss the basic operation of the elapsed time bezel. When starting your dive, set the bezel to the minute hand position. From this position, the bezel will measure the elapsed time. This is done by counting the minutes elapsed from the triangle's position. You'll observe that the triangle also has a luminous circle, or a pearl as it's sometimes known, to coordinate with the luminous hands and the hour markers on the dial. This makes it easier to read in the darkness. Another way of doing this is to set the triangle to the time in minutes to when you need to get out of the water. As the minute hand gets closer to the triangle, the less time you have left underwater. Please note that the unidirectional bezel moves anti-clockwise. This brings us to the end of the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. I would like to ask you to support our podcast directly if you could PayPal us at theultimaterolexforum@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Sohail Bhatia saying goodbye.